Lord Jesus, Almighty God and loving Savior of the world, we come before you in total amazement that you would enter our world to rescue us from sin and death. We confess our sins and our inability to keep your holy law. We are weak, but you are strong. You are able to save us by your suffering and death on the cross. Dear Savior, draw us to you by faith so that we rely on you alone and follow your word as the path to eternal life. Give us strength to fight against sin and temptation so the wicked foe has no power over us. Help us to be amazed at all that you have done and continue to do for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the fourth chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 31st verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him into their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. This is your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by the grace of God, amid all of the prosperity and peace that we have and experience in our United States, the news in the world makes us aware of the trials that are faced by other people that are happening this week. Consider the people in the Midwest, Nebraska and Iowa, and many other places where the melting snows have brought floods across many parts of the land. Not only are the farmers flooded out of their homes, but they're thinking that they may not be able to plant a crop this year because the waters are still be there. And in another part of the world, in Mozambique, there was a cyclone that came through and killed 1,000 people. And those who are left alive have to deal with the fallout of that cyclone and putting their lives back together. And in Kenya, Africa, there is a drought, a lack of rain during the growing season. And so there is little food for the people to have. And they have to experience God's and trust in God to provide for them because there is none food for them to have. Under such circumstances, people feel powerless to do anything. And they feel in their lives that until conditions change, there's not much hope. They may also feel that God's power doesn't work for them because the needs that they have, which are immediate, doesn't seem to be answered right away. And this hopeless feeling may persist as they see how God doesn't directly help them by sending food right out of heaven or drying up all the water. But Jesus shows in our text that God does have power to help. He does care, and he does answer our prayers. The people that were in his synagogue in our text were amazed at Jesus and his power. And so today, let us be amazed at Jesus' works. On the basis of our text, let us be amazed at his authority. Let us be amazed at Jesus' power. Let us be amazed that Jesus has destroyed Satan and hell. The incident in our text occurred at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He had gone to Nazareth, his hometown, and had preached to them and told them that he was the Messiah. And for that, they were ready to throw Jesus off a cliff. He passed through their midst and then walked down to Capernaum with his disciples. And there he made Capernaum the city in which he would, where he would begin and carry out his ministry. And our text says that he was preaching on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, he would talk to the people after the word had been read. Now, The people were astonished because he was not like all the other Pharisees. Jesus did not quote from all the learned rabbis when he preached. He did not show off about how much he knew. But he did talk about the Old Testament prophecies and how they related to the Messiah. Jesus, as in the Sermon on the Mount, talked also about the law and what it required. It required perfect obedience. It required obedience not only of the outward actions, but also of the heart. For example, Jesus taught that God did not just forbid murder, but whoever says you fool is in danger of hellfire because they had committed murder in their hearts. Again, he says, I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. So, in addition to this, Jesus also taught the law in the sense that God requires that God alone is to be worshipped, that his name is not to be taken in vain, that he is to be worshipped on the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, that is to hear God's word. God has set boundaries around our lives, and he requires that we honor our father and mothers and the government. He forbids us to murder, to commit adultery, to steal, to bear false witness, and to covet what is our neighbor's. And whenever we step over this fence that God has surrounded with his law, he requires that we suffer punishment. We punish eternally in hell for violating God's law. And Jesus therefore declared, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will by no means pass away until all is fulfilled. And Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount by saying, therefore, be holy and be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, no one born of Adam and Eve can be perfect. They brought sin and death upon all people, and that includes you and I. As a result, we also deserve God's punishment and death because of sin. Not just the things we do, but the things we are. And for that reason, we deserve eternal wrath. Now, Jesus here was speaking God's words to the people. He was speaking on his authority. And the people were amazed at what he was saying. In his state of humility, Jesus gave all glory to God when he said, the doctrine is not mine, but that of the Father's. And he says, I speak what I have seen with my Father, claiming to be the Messiah, to be God. And therefore, Jesus could promise, most assuredly, he who sees, he hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and he shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Now, these words are absolutely true. They are the words of the Son of God. Only God could make a promise like this and make it stick. And it is true, and we are to believe those words, just as what Jesus says to us, the promise of forgiveness and salvation. Jesus spoke with authority because he is God. He knew what God was going to say. He knew what God wanted to bring to the message that God wanted to bring to the people. Yes, there is the law that condemns us. Yes, we admit that we have sinned as we've done in the service. But there is also the message of the gospel. That is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. For Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And by that authority, he speaks. And in that authority, we are to be amazed at Jesus' power as well. The astonishment of the people over Jesus' authority and teaching is interrupted by someone who comes in to the synagogue and starts crying out in a loud voice. And we are told in our text that this was a man who was possessed by a demon. It is Satan's attitude to try and disrupt what Jesus is saying. And that is why the demon says to Jesus, you have come to destroy us. Satan wanted the people to understand that Jesus was a destroyer of good things and not the savior of the world, not the Messiah. You've come to destroy us. Not only Satan, the demon, but also the rest of the people. How easy it is for Satan to charge the truth of God and turn it into a lie. Satan charges that those who teach creation are anti-science. Satan says that God's creation of male and female is charged as evil oppression. God's gift of marriage between a man and a woman is seen as too restrictive. Satan makes that charge against the Christian church. Jesus teaching that he is the only way to heaven is Satan's declares that to be unloving and contrary to the love in the world. And Satan attacks the Bible as being full of myths and contradictions. And so Christianity is viewed as being opposed to the great wisdom of man, as destroying the peace of our society, and as unloving and hateful. Satan knows that God's truth will destroy his influence in the world. And so if he can charge the truth of God as being a lie, he will do so. In the text, the demon also said to about Jesus, "I know you who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, Jesus is true God. He is the Messiah. That's what the demon said is true. But the demon's purpose was to turn and twist things so that the Jews would be arguing over who was the Messiah and whether Jesus was the one or not, instead of listening to Jesus' words. That it was the word that is the power of God. And arguing over who was the Messiah was something that the demon was trying to promote. So Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to leave the man and not harm him. And so the spirit threw the man into the crowd of worshipers and then left. When Jesus speaks, when his word of power is proclaimed, the devil must obey. We see the power of God in our text. And even the people were amazed at that power of God because he spoke as one authority and he had power to drive out the demon because he is God. And that's the conclusion that we are to arrive at, that Jesus is God and our Messiah and our Savior. Not only did Jesus show his authority and his power, but we are also to see from this text that Jesus' power and authority also meant our salvation, in that he came to destroy Satan and death. The worshipers in Capernaum who saw Jesus drive out the demon should have concluded that Jesus is God and their Messiah. But they didn't. And their attitude is similar to people in our time who flock to witnesses, to witness healing miracles, or people who flock to see miracles of the Holy Spirit, or those who listen to preachers who declare that God wants us to be healthy and wealthy. The devil tricks people into thinking that they are seeing real power when they see it happening in the service. And they're not listening to God's word, which is the power of God unto salvation. He is turning them away from that word so that they don't listen and hear what Jesus wants us to know about his salvation. By shedding his holy blood, Jesus has paid the costly ransom for our sins. This is the dilemma that we have. The law tells us that we're under God's wrath and condemnation and eternal death. There is no way that we can break out from that by our works, by our attitudes, by our prayers, anything. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. But Jesus came to us in the power of God, and he destroyed Satan and death by that power of God. Now, as he stood before the Sanhedrin, they judged him to be weak. He didn't show any power. They judged him to be friendless. No one else was supporting him. And so they mocked him. They judged him worthy of blasphemy and worthy of death, because he claimed to be God. And so they insisted that he be crucified. And so even on the cross, his enemies still glowered at him and still said to him, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe." These leaders concluded that Jesus had no power and was not God. But this weakness was only apparent. On the cross, Jesus was carrying our sins. He was suffering our punishment as our substitute. And Jesus must be God to do this, so that he who is holy, the Lord loaded on him the sins of all people, so that his suffering and death would pay for our sins. Here is the power of God, that he defeated Satan, sin, and death by his death. What does this mean for us? It means if the Holy Spirit has come to us and given us faith and created a new life in us, as we taught in confirmation class this week, then it means that we have power against Satan and sin. Not the almighty power of God, but God works through us so that we have the ability to fight against Satan, to put off the old man and put on the new man, to live according to God's will instead of Satan's will. How does that work? Through baptism. We are united into Christ's death so that we live for him. And in baptism, we daily drown the old Adam and all its sins and evil lusts and arise to a new life and a new man, which lives unto God and does his will. Imperfectly, yes, but it is the power of God working in our lives. And this is why baptism is so important to us. And in the Lord's Supper, not only do we receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, but through the love of God that we receive, we also receive strength to live a holy life, to live for God, to trust in him. And so the power that's in our life, it isn't our power, it isn't our faith, it's God's power working in us. And the more we're involved with the word and baptism and Lord's Supper, the more that power comes to us, the more we defeat Satan in our lives, resist temptation, the more we live for God and show our love to God in the things that we do and say, and our love for one another. St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The people in Capernaum were astonished at Jesus' teaching, but that's as far as it went. They didn't believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so they missed out on the blessings Jesus wanted to give them by his teaching and by his showing of power. We can be amazed at Jesus' power, that he came to be our Savior. Let us be amazed that he came with the Holy Spirit to give us faith so that we are children of God and forgiven of all our sins. Let us be amazed that God is working through us to show forth his glory in our lives and into the world, and be amazed that he blesses us through word and sacraments. And then one day we can be amazed that God will take us to heaven and that he will give us eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the power of God and the salvation of God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.